Good morning, and let me thank the organizers for giving this opportunity to present this work. And this is going to be a shift what you have heard till now. The experts are doing the predictions, but how that can be taken to the field level at the benefit for the benefit of the farmers, and not as a only model, but on a large scale where it can make an impact. And that is where we are working on for the innovative climate smart agriculture through the knowledge dissemination and empowerment. In this case, all of us are well aware about the challenges, and there is a large yield gap even during the normal years or the bad years, and that is where the challenge is, how we can build this, bridge this yield gap between the farmer's field and what the researchers are able to get on the farmer's field. And this is a long-term data which clearly shows that if we can bridge this yield gap, then what we are talking of the impact of the climate change itself can be a win-win situation for the farmers, and that's what ICRISAT calls it as a hypothesis of hope. Instead of saying that climate change is going to adversely impact the farmers, for a poor farmer who is harvesting 1 ton, and if he loses 100 kilograms, it doesn't make a big difference. But there is a large opportunity to bridge that gap of 4 tons, and if he can produce instead of 1 ton, even 1.5 ton, that gives a good cushion for the farmer to cope with the impacts of the climate change, and that is where we are targeting our technologies. And we know that these are the small farmers, particularly in the developing countries, who are more vulnerable to the impacts, not only because of the lack of technologies, but also even if the technologies are available in the countries, the knowledge does not reach to the farmers, and they do not are not in position to apply those sorts of things. We have looked into the impacts of the climate change, and we know that the areas under the semi-arid are increasing because some of the areas from the humid tropics are shifting towards the aridity, and some of the semi-arid areas are shifting towards the arid areas as such. And we have found that on an average in the country like India, almost 9 million hectare extra area is coming into the semi-arid tropics, and different states have been characterized where the shifts are taking place into the long-term climate. This based on the 30 years of average 1940 to 70 and 70 to 2010 as such. We are finding these sort of changes also at different locations where we are working, that the temperatures are increasing, the number of days for with the heavy rainfall events are also increasing, the dry spells are increasing, and all this information, how we are going to really transfer to the farmers, and that to particularly millions of farmers, because these are small farm holders. And that's where we are working on farmer-centric collective action as such through the catchment management, where the groups can be together in the village and they can really get into the science-based approach where the information can be made available to the farmers. And for this, as we are knowing that farmers are not only producing one particular crop, or they don't need only information about the temperature changes or the rainfall, but also need the technologies to cope with that. And these technologies can be of different types, changing on the crops, livestock, vegetables, and other livelihood options. And in this case, one particular expertise will not be of help in that particular location, and you need a battery of experts basically to guide the farmers for the changes what it comes. And that's where in 2000 we started the consortium approach for watershed management, so that farmers can have the solutions for holistically, and that's where the integrated watershed management approach. Basically, we start with the field-based soil water conservation, so that the green water, what we call, is handled more effectively, because as we know, 2/3 of the water used in food production is the green water, that is the soil moisture content. But most of the time our emphasis is on the blue water, that is the irrigation water, what we talk about, and that's where if we can put more emphasis on the green water efficiency and more conservation, then the impacts can be taken care. And whenever there are excess rainfall events which are resulting into the runoff, if we can harvest that runoff and then can be used as a supplemental irrigation during the dry spells to cope with the drought. Along with the water, we also need to bring in other factors like soil health, improved cultivars, pest and disease management as it was highlighted earlier, markets and need for an integrated approach. And that's where we need to really bring in all these information together, including the simple information like soil health. Now, as we find that most of the recommendations are for NPK, but as the table shows in different provinces in India, the micronutrient deficiencies have emerged over the years quite severely, and 60 to 100% of the farmers' fields are deficient in zinc, boron and sulfur. So even if the season is normal, the farmers are not able to get the benefit because they are not able to apply the appropriate nutrients to the soil, and the water use efficiency is quite low. In such a case, this knowledge has to be transferred to the farmers along with the crop productivity enhancement initiatives, whatever are required for through crop diversification, pest management and other. And all these learnings over the years have been put together into a new program with the government of Karnataka, that is Bhuchetna. It's a mission project basically to enhance the productivity of the dryland agricultural systems by 20% in 4 years. And the need for transforming was that the large number of small farmers in the state are not able to see any growth for last decade, and that's where the challenge was. We know that growing water scarcity is the problem, and the dry years coming very often are affecting the farmers' productivity, and non-profitability of agriculture is really driving away the farmers away from the farming, and that's where the livelihood of 70% of the population is becoming a challenge. And that's where then we put all these things together for ensuring that it should be a scaling up approach for the knowledge to be transferred to the farmers. It should be a demand-driven program rather than the supply-driven, because most of the times scientists go with the available knowledge with them saying that this is the one which you should apply, and farmers' needs are not taken into account. And that's where then the adoption rates are pretty low, and that's where we put together the model of innovations, inclusivity for small and marginal farmers, integrated and basically intensification of the systems. Through the collective action, cooperation, capacity building with the help of the consortium of the experts to address issues of efficiency, equity, environment protection. And that is where the bridging the yield gap empowerment knowledge sharing was taken up, where a lot of emphasis was put on knowledge sharing. For example, the whole soil maps of the state was prepared. And this information has to be shared with the farmers, millions of farmers. And in this case, in addition to the soil health cards, the normal method of writing in the villages on the walls, the information about what farmers need to apply was put in the place, as well as for the help of policymakers and dealers, it was put on the internet. And the soil health atlas was put it in the public domain so that people have the access to the information what has been generated about the soil health of that particular whole state as such. About the climate, the 30 years data was used to identify which are the dry spells and which are the wet spells during the season. And accordingly, the farmers can take the decision about normal planting or the delayed planting depending on the occurrence during that particular season. And this information also was made available to the farmers in the local language in the villages as such through the wall writings. But we also realized that most of the developing countries, the extension systems are defunct. And the staff, whoever are there, are not able to reach to the millions of farmers. And that's where we were looking at. So we created a new cadre of farm facilitators. And there, basically, the one of the farmers from the same village is trained, and then in addition to the normal training, the farmers are also provided with the tablets, so that all the information is available on the tablet in the local language to be guided to the farmers, so that the farm facilitator is empowered. Then farmer-to-farmer videos using the the projectors, which are pico projectors, which are battery-operated. As you know, in most of the developing countries, in villages, the electricity is the issue. And in this case, for a group of 10-15 farmers, the simple projection on the wall can make the things. And we have found that farmer-to-farmer videos are more effective than the normal communication. Once we came up with the tablet, then the questions were there that normal tablet, if you take it in the sun, you cannot read it. If it falls, then it is off because they are not shockproof. And if little water rainfall is there, then the tablet is spoiled. So we have developed with the dealer a new tablet which is shock resistant, waterproof, and we can read it in the daylight also, and it is more cost effective. It costs only $350 as compared to the IBM Club Book, which costs $3,000. And that's where we are trying to empower the farmers using this one, and see that there is a consortium for even making the knowledge dissemination through the phablets with the Airtel as well as with the other producers of the phablet as such. And we are using the audio, video, conventional methods, as well as the voice messages and the phablet-based extension systems to share the knowledge with the farmers, so that the farmers are empowered with the help of farm facilitators. So whatever the knowledge is generated by the scientists about the impacts of climate change or changing climate forecasts, as IMD does it, short-term forecasts, that information has to be translated into the actions. And that is where we are playing this particular role. And as a result, we have found that the crop yields are increased during the last 5 years by 20 to 66%. The average growth rate has hit 5% as compared to the stagnant 1%. And the benefit cost ratio for the individual farmers, depending on the crops during the good year or the bad year, was varying anywhere between 1:3:14, and net benefits accrued in 4 years were about $240 million as such. So this impact has definitely picked up into the different regions. Now other states as well as the countries like Philippines are adopting this approach, and that is where we see that this is a good model for empowering the farmers as such, so that the knowledge generated by the scientists can be used along with the solutions by the farmers on the ground. Thank you very much.